afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to, what do we call this? a progressive life. And we have our guests with us. Dr. Feynman, I assume you're there.
Yes, I've been patiently waiting.
I know you have. It was a little longer than normal today.
I noticed, yeah. I wanted to mention before we start, and I'm not going to ask you to answer it on the show. I congratulated you yesterday on your 52nd anniversary, and
yes.
I asked you a question regarding your wife. So I'd appreciate you looking at Facebook Messenger and answering it at some point, all
okay,
right?
Okay, I will go ahead and do it. If the question is, how did I ever get so lucky to marry such a pretty woman, I
That's
can't
not the
answer
actual
that.
Question, but she's lovely. Question. Yeah.
I thought she was lovely and is still lovely. But what, now, which day is your birthday this week?
It was last week, on Friday the 7th.
Friday, okay.
Yeah, so I'm now 77 years old.
Yeah, and you look like you're about 37.
So. Well, not quite. So I like to joke I'm 49.
Well, that's good. I'll go along with that. I'm 49, too.
Yes.
We're twins. Oh, well, happy birthday to you. I'm sorry it was last Friday and I didn't call you on Friday. I didn't send you a present either, by the way.
I wasn't expecting one, believe me, but I had a lot of people, say happy birthday on Facebook.
Good. Excellent.
Awful lot, Yeah.
Well, now, Facebook is a place that you and I go to a lot.
Yes.
You do not participate as much as I do, but...
I used to, but I... Yeah. My oldest son told me for my blood pressure, which was an issue, now it's back to normal.
Good.
And I don't know if it's related, but he said, you're on too much, don't have to comment on everything that everybody says. So
that's
I only
true.
Put my postings for my History News Network and Progressive Professor on there, and sometimes I'll post an article about something else, but I will make a comment most of the time.
If somebody puts something on there that kind of asks you a question, I don't always respond to it. If I know the person really well, I might respond.
That's exactly what I would do, yes.
Yeah. If they're just a glancing friend, quite often I don't respond. As a matter of fact, I don't, you put a lot of stuff, or you used to put a lot of stuff on, and I didn't respond to everything you put on, but
I
did
to.
Look.
Nobody expects it. Everybody has to, yeah.
Yeah, I did look at it all. I just, I'd be pushing it. The other day, yesterday.
Like or sadness, I post, but they don't necessarily say anything,
Well, yesterday, I got 345 junk mails. And
oh, my God. Is it my spam or just junk in
just
the email?
In the junk email thing.
Oh,
and I also got 25 non-focus emails and several in my inbox. So I just don't have time to answer them.
I click off a lot of things. Some things, however, in spam should be in the regular email.
Yeah, that's true.
Just the spam.
Yeah.
And everything is junk spam, and some of the junk should be in spam is not.
Yeah, which requires almost that you look in both files.
Yes, and it takes time.
Yes, it does take time.
Yeah.
Well, hey, did you find out anything about Christmas?
Oh,
and well, let's
Christmas,
talk about
yes.
The White House and Christmas. Now, as a caveat to this, you are not Christian.
That's
you are
correct.
Jewish. So I hope we didn't offend you by asking you to
of
look that
not.
Up.
No,
but I think
not.
It's kind of fun for everybody. If you're Hindu or atheist like I am or Jewish like you are, I think it's kind of fun to hear what the presidents did around the White House at Christmas
yes.
time. It's
yes.
kind of like, when did they, when they started giving pardons to the turkeys and stuff like that. But this
yes,
is Christmas.
You're right, yeah. Anyway, so shall I start?
Let's go.
Okay, it starts, believe it or not, with John Adams in 1800.
Holy cow.
In the White House. He had just opened up the White House, and it wasn't finished. But he held the first White House Christmas party in December 1800 for their four-year-old granddaughter, Susanna Boylston Adams, who was living
Cute.
With them.
Yeah.
And they invited government officials and other children to the party. That's 1800. So it started
1800.
Right at the beginning.
Wow.
And then Andrew Jackson in 1835 invited children of his household, because he had several adopted children, and also, I think, staff members and their children.
Now, who's this we're talking
about? To a frolic at the White House.
Who's this again?
Mr. Jackson.
Jackson, okay.
So they had games, dancing, and a grand dinner, and a snowball fight using specially made cotton balls.
Oh, my. Now, he had several adopted children?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even adopted Native Americans, even though he's also responsible for slaughtering of Native Americans.
Is that ironic or what?
Well, you know, these people are very complex. You know,
yes.
They have good and bad points. You know, they all do.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
So that was in 1830.
As far as the 30s Christmas tree, some people say Benjamin Harrison in 1889, but I found no. It's Franklin Pierce in 1856.
So you made them all liars, those guys.
Yeah, because different sources say Benjamin Harrison, but apparently it was Franklin Pierce, yep.
I'll be darned. That's kind of cool.
All right, and then Ulysses S. Grant declares Christmas a legal holiday in 1870.
Right. I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, so he declares it, and, you know, holiday. Harrison does have a Christmas tree. It's considered the first official tree. I don't know what that means compared to Franklin Pierce. I have no idea. And then Grover Cleveland uses electric Christmas lights in 1895.
Holy cow.
Yep.
Before the turn of the century.
Yeah, and the thing that's interesting is electricity was in the White House under Benjamin Harrison, but he was afraid to turn the switches on and off. He thought he might get electrocuted.
I can see that.
Yeah, but Grover Cleveland went ahead and did it anyway.
Well, he needed to get Tesla there to help him turn it on and off.
Yes. Well, he also had the youngest wife, so maybe his wife encouraged him.
Yeah.
He married his wife when she was 21 and he was 49.
Yeah, now, wasn't she related to him in some distant
way? No, she was not related to him, no, but I think she was...
Family friend or something.
Related to a friend, I think a friend's... I'm not sure. That I'd have to look up, but not directly related, because that would be obscene if you think about it.
I guess, yeah.
But many people thought he waited till 49 to get married, and then he marries a 21-year-old who could be his daughter. That was a little strange.
No, it sounds like a good idea to me. My wife's not listening this morning.
Well, if you need a place to stay, you can come here.
I might just keep on going when I drop her off in North Carolina and head to Florida.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, now Theodore Roosevelt was against Christmas trees.
He was.
Yes, but his kids brought in a Christmas tree. Archie brought a tree, and he smiled and accepted it, so they started to have Christmas trees, but he didn't think it was right to have a Christmas tree.
Why? Did he say?
He just thought that it was, I think, against Christmas, because
kind of
a
pagan
Christian way, originally, to have Christmas trees, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I guess, it would be kind of the Yule log type thing. It's kind of a pagan throw off, yeah.
And also, he was a conservationist, and I guess he felt people cutting down trees for Christmas is doing damage to the environment. Isn't that interesting?
But he was blowing the brains out of cute little Bambis that were out there.
Again, contradictions.
All right.
Okay, then under William Howard Taft, his children, including future conservative Senator Robert Taft, who tried to be president a number of times, put the first Christmas tree in the Blue Room.
What's the Blue Room?
That's one of the rooms in the White House that's blue color.
Oh.
There's a red room, there's a blue room, you know, a green room, you know, so you put into the Blue Room.
Well, no, I've never heard of the Blue Room. I've heard of the
Have you been to the White House?
Yes, I have.
I'm sure you saw it then.
I must have, but...
Yeah. Bad memory of your age, huh?
It's kind of slippy. You know, it's been a long time because walk into the White House like you could when I was a kid. When I was in my teens, we visited Washington.
Oh, but that's the last time you've been to the White House, huh?
Well, that was the last time
That's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Forget. But
I was 18.
If you look up information on the White House, you would see they have the different rooms, blue, red, green, yeah.
I'll be darned. Well, they didn't let us... tarry about. We were a bunch of students. I was 18 years old, and they wanted to get us in and out. We didn't see much.
Sometimes I think kids going is good, but they don't really have the memories of it years later. You have to be, I think, an adult to appreciate things.
Yeah, you don't associate, you might see a picture of a president on the wall, and you don't associate that president with anything until you're older.
Many people say that education is wasted on the young. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you get more learning later, you know, when you appreciate it more, you're more mature.
Oh,
I have to learn things and memorize. It's not just memorize, it's understand. But that's the way a lot of kids see it. Like I heard, in fact, you were talking earlier about what people don't want on Christmas because they don't want books.
Yeah.
I thought that was wild. I never thought of that. I used to get books at times for Hanukkah, and I guess I'm not a normal person.
Well, now, books, I like certain types of books, you know, like self-help books or books that have pictures of things that I've always wanted to see. But, boy, I can't honestly say I wanted them for Christmas. That was not something I wanted for Christmas.
I guess I'm weird. What can I say?
Well, and you know I have the dyslexic problem, so therefore...
Oh, that could be possible.
Yeah, it was not much fun to read when you fall asleep after 10 minutes of reading.
Yeah, but I wouldn't consider books the same as ties or underwear that was mentioned. I can understand kids wouldn't care about clothes.
No,
although when they're teenagers, they probably would.
No kid wants underwear.
Yeah, but I'm saying when people become older teens, they certainly want clothes.
Maybe so.
Of course, they want to pick it out themselves, though.
And
I'm talking about dresses or you know, jeans or whatever, you know.
I don't think Scott mentioned what the age cutoff was for young people on that, so.
He said kids.
Yeah, kids could be up to 12.
Actually, you're 18, you're a kid. That's
okay,
what they say,
right,
you know, because you're not an adult, legally.
Okay. And speaking of an 18-year-old, Mr. Wittenhouse showed up at a
right-wing conference, and they cheered and applauded him.
Cheered. Yeah.
He's going to be a problem because
he's a hero.
You know, now he's talking about suing media companies for having said things he doesn't like. And that, I think, I mean, he can do it, but I hope he doesn't win such cases.
Well,
it's crazy.
And he'll get lots of money to back him doing that because there are a lot of people that hate media, which I think is, if we didn't have the media, we wouldn't have the United States of America.
That's right. We wouldn't have freedom. You're right.
Anyway.
There's also that kid that smiled that time a couple of years ago and was criticized with that Native American in D.C., and he sued and won a lot of money from a number of news organizations.
I don't
like
recall
21.
That.
I can't think of his name. But I think it's overkill. I don't think that should have been so, but I think they settled these companies. I don't know why they did, but they did. So the media companies bend to these lawsuits.
I guess so. They just they want to keep their name out of the public eye.
Yeah,
so.
But it just means nobody can be critical of anybody who's young who does something that's not right.
Yeah.
And that was minor compared to this with Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Oh, I'm sorry, I cut you off. We got to Roosevelt with the Christmas tree.
And Taft, I was told. Well, actually, I mentioned Taft at the first tree in the blue room, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but what you said about Kyle Rittenhouse, certainly we should have mentioned, yeah. Okay, then also under FDR, actually under Calvin Coolidge, in 1923, we have him lighting a tree on the White House lawn.
Oh, that's the first lawn we won on.
Yeah. And then in 28, Coolidge makes Christmas Eve a holiday for all federal employees.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. And
I wouldn't think a conservative would have done that.
Yeah, well, they were different conservatives back then.
Well, they were. Yes, that's true. They weren't like your illustrious Congressman Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, I do not think can be. I disagree with with Scott. I don't think you can compare him to Bob Dole at any time.
No, I don't think so.
I know Bob Dole had a harsher side, but never quite like Jim Jordan.
I tried to moderate Scott on that, but I didn't do a very good job.
He was harsh at times and annoying. I remember in 76 when he was running, with Ford and debated Mondale. He seemed mean and nasty, but he wasn't as gross an individual at any time as some of the people today. I just don't think so.
Well, I tried to point out.
I supported him in 2020, but that was just more... That was not much of anything at that point. Yeah, go with that. I'm sorry.
I tried to point out to Scott that I never thought guys back in that day, now I'm sure some of them lied to us, but they didn't use lying as a method of spreading what they believed.
Yeah, Bob Dole was never a Ted Cruz, never would be.
And I think both Jordan and Cruz are noted for their lies, and I think they have been... proven in public that
they also have contributed nothing. Dole contributed a lot.
He did
over the years. It's just not right to compare Bob Dole to these characters.
Yeah.
He did not block all these appointments so long as Ted Cruz did. you know, as far as appointments to the, you know, appointments to the courts and ambassadors, finally making a deal on it with Biden. But I mean, Bob Dole had his bad side. I didn't always like what he did, but nothing like now. No.
I just got a headline on my phone that says that the FDA has now approved that pill for the prevention of.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good because
maybe people will take the pill if they don't want to do the vaccination.
Yeah,
but people not taking vaccinations has caused what's going on now.
Jeez. What ignorance we live in. Okay.
It's just terrible. It really is, you know. And to think that people who are religious, evangelicals, preach that it's bad to do this.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with religion.
Yeah, there was somebody on today on TV that apparently was an evangelical leader who was kicked out because he was saying do vaccinations a few months ago.
And is that right?
Yeah, it's just insane. It really is. What I think it does do is promote atheism and agnosticism.
Hey, if I didn't have a reason before.
Organized religion, you know?
If I didn't have a reason before, I have one now to be an atheist.
And that's why, as a Jew, I do not like, in general, I'm not saying individuals, Orthodox Jewry, because I think they're much too, you know, irrelevant and just the way they treat women and just the way they are. I just find them very objectionable. So
I find that anybody in any religion who takes a hard and fast stance on anything is not really looking at the whole picture. So.
No.
I think most things are nuanced.
And they don't preach in the Christian religion Jesus, the good side. If they make Jesus out to be a nasty person, like he's out to get revenge on people who don't accept. Jesus wasn't that way, you know. No. They're distorting Jesus Christ.
When I have people that ask me why am I an atheist, I usually point out that I consider myself a Christian atheist. and that means that I believe in the New Testament. I believe that the preaching of Jesus, much like I believe in the preachings of Muhammad, and I haven't read that many of them, but
I have a new neighbor next door I just got to know, and you know he mentioned he's Unitarian, and I laughed because I said I've had students say to me in past years, you know, when we discussed religion as part of whatever course, not just presidency but other courses, otherwise, and like you know, a couple of times people have said if you were not Jewish and you came back in another life and you could not be Jewish, you had to pick something else, what would you be? I said only Unitarian or Quaker. Because you're so open-minded and tolerant. And I still stand by that. Unitarians, I've been very impressed with, and Quakers as well, you know.
Now, my former, back in my great-great-grandfather's day, my family was Quaker. And
That's wonderful, yeah.
Well, and I'm...
Meeting houses they have.
There are a lot of Quakers that are pretty rigid, though, and...
there are some.
I'm not a big fan of rigidity.
No, I like the historic Quakers, the ones who were anti-slavery, anti-war.
Image.
But Unitarians... And there are people who are Jewish who give up Judaism and become Unitarians. It's like a cross between being Jewish and Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my
Unitarian, I said, that's great.
Well, my relationship with Richard Nixon is that the Milhouse family, you know, his middle name is Milhouse. Well, they're my relatives, the Milhouse family. That is his
mother's side, really?
Yeah. And,
really?
Yeah. And
you're related to Richard Nixon?
Yeah, way out.
Wow.
I mean, you know, like...
He was a very rigid mother, wasn't she?
I don't know much
about
her.
Well, I think that his mother was very harsh. I think it had an effect on his personality.
He was kind of harsh.
Yeah, I think that's what I've always thought, that his mother was a very strict person. You know, that's the impression I've gotten from what I've read.
Well, anyway, I don't tell that very often, but now that it's on the airwaves, everybody in the world knows about
it. And she was around when he was VP, by the way. She lived a very long life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
I hope that same happens to you and me.
Yeah. She was, I think, in the 90s when she died.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she was, but she, you know, not too many presidents have their mothers around like John Kennedy did, but not many have their mothers around when they're in the White House, you know?
Yeah. No,
it's unlikely, you know?
She was getting up there. She was pretty long in tooth when he was in the White House.
Yes, but she apparently had an impact on them, I think.
Yeah, that's good. I think that probably was
not
good.
As president, as vice president.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, she wasn't alive at that point. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but anyway, back to the Christmas issue. FDR had a whole Christmas tradition, which is told to us by maitre d' and butler Alonzo Fields. He said, they always brave the hazards of fire by having a Christmas tree lighted with candles.
Ooh, that's scary.
In the East Hall, the family tradition included reading of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol by the president. The gathering of the family with the president and Mrs. Roosevelt, the president's mother, yeah, his mother was there to 1941. She was a real pain, and she lived with them, basically, in a separate area of wherever they lived. She was a real pain in the neck mother-in-law. But the gathering of the family with the president, Mrs. Roosevelt, the president's mother, the children and grandchildren made a comely family group of four generations, end quote.
Now,
isn't that interesting?
What does the term comely mean?
I think it means neat, nice. Actually, let me look up the term because I'm reading a quote here.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
comely. O-M. Let me look it up.
While you're looking that up, I will mention that... what was I going to mention? It fell right out of my head.
That's just a look at attractive.
Oh, okay. Good.
Agreeable, suitable. It's a nice scene, is what he's saying, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's quite a word he used in the memoir.
I'm amazed that they allowed them to put live candles on a tree.
I'm sure there were people praying.
Yes. That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even that early, I mean, they knew what... And they had electricity and they had lights. They knew what fire could do to a tree, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then Eisenhower sent the official presidential Christmas card.
Oh, there is an official Christmas card. Do they still send those out? Do you know?
I don't actually know. And they have. I have a scene of it, of Caesar's greetings with the presidential seal. I have it. You know, I printed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And also he broadcast a Christmas message from space via the first American satellite. Don't forget we had orbited in space in 58.
Yeah, yeah. Right after Sputnik.
The
Russians beat us.
I remember being a member of the astronomy club, and I guess it was seventh grade I was in.
That was a horrible day, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, it was like Pearl Harbor
at
the time. But I remember we had an astronomy club with about 10 kids, all males. And after Sputnik, a lot of girls joined the group, so we were so thrilled.
Why did they join after Sputnik?
Because it was cool to be interested in space. Astronomy club. It was so funny. The guys were so happy about that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Well,
that's your 7th and 8th grade? Oh, my God, you know what's going on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, you just don't want to say it.
Yeah, you're right. We're on the air.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else about Christmas?
Well, Jacqueline Kennedy started the tradition of a decorative theme.
Absolutely.
The first one was the Nutcracker. Nutcracker Suite.
Is that right?
Yeah, in 61. Yeah.
She really did it up beautifully, if I recall correctly.
Yes, well, she was so elegant and special.
Yeah.
No question about it, yeah. So
TV programs with her taking us through the White House at that time, if I recall correctly.
Yes,
yeah.
And under Nixon, we had a German A-frame gingerbread house for the Nixon's first Christmas tree.
I'll be darned.
That's interesting, too.
Yeah.
And under Gerald Ford, we had the first cranberry tree in the Red Room.
A cranberry tree?
Cranberry.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
That's my least favorite food during the holidays.
Well, you have to fruit tree. You don't have to eat it.
Yeah, I guess. My wife would eat it. She loves cranberries. I have no idea why.
Yeah. Well, as long as that's the only important difference, you're in good shape.
We have a few others.
And also, Jimmy Carter, I should go back to Jimmy Carter.
Yeah?
He was the first to recognize the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah by lighting the nation's first national menorah.
Is that right?
1979.
Isn't that interesting that such a evangelical-type president would recognize the Jewish religion? I love it. That makes me proud of him.
It was. Look, as I say, he's still with us. God bless him. Yeah. And I hope he makes it to 100, really.
I hope he makes it to 120.
Yeah, because honestly, he makes 100, I'm going to want to say more.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. Now, the Clintons had, this caused a controversy. In 1993, they had what we usually would call Christmas cards, but they called them holiday cards.
Yeah, and all the people that hate us libs probably had something to say about that.
But that became a controversy. Yeah. I don't think he realized what he was getting himself into.
I'm sure he didn't.
And under Clinton, also, we had a white chocolate replica of the White House.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, alongside the Christmas tree.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. Now, the holiday, aren't there like 14 religious holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
I'm not sure the number, but there are a lot of different
ones.
The ones we usually talk about are Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa.
Yeah, I think I read that there are 14 different religious holidays, and that includes, you know, Hindu and all the different...
Yes, and Muslim and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and Buddhist. Yeah. And also with that white chocolate replica of the White House, it was 300 pounds, taking months to create.
Oh, my.
Imagine that?
Yikes. That was a big one then.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And in 1995, they created a replica, I'm sure the Republicans love this, of First Lady Hillary Clinton's girlhood home on Wisner Street in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Oh, I bet they hated it.
No detail was left unturned, including a tiny stocking hung by the chimney with care.
Oh, isn't that cute? Well, now, was Hillary an only child?
No. She has a brother.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Bush had a patriotic theme in 2008 after receiving many letters suggesting the White House making a red, white, and blue Christmas to promote patriotism. So she promoted that, yeah.
Okay. That to me seems...
Seems what?
I'm not a big fan of pushing patriotism into religious
holiday. No, I'm not either, no.
That seems to take away from the that stuff. It takes away from the religion of it.
Yeah, and Michelle Obama started the idea of, of simple gifts. In lieu of material gifts, the Obamas chose to celebrate their friends and family that bring joy during the holidays. The First Lady stated, "The greatest blessings of all are the ones that don't cost a thing.
Yeah.
The time that we spend with our loved ones, the freedoms we enjoy as Americans, and the joy we feel from reaching out to those in need."
I like that. Michelle Obama is one of my favorite First Ladies ever. So.
Yes, and yet there's so many people who hate her, and there's those who say she's a man, actually. You've heard that, I'm sure.
Yeah, well,
I ignore
people that say something like that as idiots. So.
That is really ridiculous, yeah.
She's a beautiful woman.
So. Oh, she is.
And I used to drive by where she lived many days of the year when I worked in Chicago. So.
Yeah, and she's so intelligent, you know.
Oh, my.
One of the most intelligent of all first ladies, you know.
If we had... If all of the Congress and senators, if all of them had half the intelligence that lady has, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, well, there's also always said maybe she could be on the Supreme Court in theory, or she could be running for president, but she seems to have no interest in that.
I don't think if I were her, I wouldn't want to. Why go into the pot from the frying pan? It just doesn't seem like much fun.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the details about Christmas that I could find.
Now, you didn't hit on anything that Trump did for Christmas.
Nothing really spectacular, no. Not that I could find, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Maybe, but in the sources I looked up presents and Christmas, I didn't find it, no.
Maybe he hasn't gotten into the book yet. I don't know.
Well, you know what it is? He doesn't really care or think about what's good for others anyway, as you know. He's a miserable, wretched human being.
I doubt that he really did anything.
And his wife didn't really seem to have much interest in doing much of anything positive that I see, anyway.
Speaking of being a miserable wretch...
What does Scott say when he hears that?
He won't allow us to say wretch anymore.
No. Yes. Like change from the other word he doesn't like.
There you go. Now, I watched a show last night I had never seen before. I think it was the 1941 or 45, I'm not sure which, edition of A Christmas Carol. And it was narrated by Vincent Price, and it only took 26 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And it was very, he actually just kind they kind of read the Dickens story, and you know, all three of the scepters showed up pretty quickly, and it was all over with. But it was very poorly acted, but quite interesting.
Black and white or color?
Black and white.
Oh gosh!
And,
yeah.
But I just wanted to see. That was the earliest one that I could find.
I would think there might have been a silent film of it.
There might have been.
Yeah,
I didn't find one.
I never could understand silent movies where you see people talking a lot and they show a few words.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk for a half an hour and there's three words of
it. I always found that not interesting. But yeah. If you didn't have sound, you had nothing else at that time before 1929, you know.
Now, I took cinematography in college for 2 years, and I really enjoyed the silent era. It was kind of fun to watch how they made... Well, it was not good acting. It would not be considered good acting nowadays, but they had to over-exaggerate things so
yes.
that you understood what they were saying.
Yes.
Quite interesting.
Well, Lillian Gish, of course, no longer with us.
Yeah.
She had the longest career in Hollywood of anybody.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it was like 75 years, but Betty White, again, coming up next month, is
going to be 100. Yeah.
I think it's had more than that. She's had the longest career in television, and I think more than any, not in movies, but overall, I think she's had the longest career of anybody ever who's ever done anything in Hollywood.
Now, I'm not positive of this, but I think Scott's interviewed her, I think.
I was going to say, if not, she should be.
Yeah, well, I know he's interviewed the other ladies that were on...
Yes.
Yeah.
Or passed away.
Yeah, yeah. But I think he interviewed her, so...
And I think she was born before the others, but they all passed away.
Yeah.
I think she was earliest birth of the four of them, yeah.
Good genes. Must
have
been. My God,
yes, yeah.
All right, well, let's... now that you got through the Christmas, let's open another present. Joe Manchin.
I'd say it's a mixed feeling. I'm very upset, but boy, now Mitch McConnell is inviting him to become a Republican, and that would be a disaster if he did, because then they would gain control of the Senate immediately.
Yeah, that would be a disaster.
So, you know, it's one of these things where even if we don't get everything we want, he seems to be open to some kind of a Build Back Better bill.
Yeah.
Maybe as much as been talked about, it's going to be much cut down, but I still say we have to work with him because, gosh, otherwise everything is lost, you know?
Well, so the thing that bothered me is, let's see, Vice President Harris got in an argument with a Fox News guy who brought that up and...
Who was actually a Fox News guy? I think it's this...
It was on Fox News TV.
Okay, but it was one of these African-Americans.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not even sure what his name is.
He really wasn't a Fox News guy. He was just kind of an out-there guy.
He's a bit of a weird guy. I can't think of his name now.
And
she got a little annoyed because she's talking about Joe Manchin more than Joe Biden.
Yes.
And she said, and I'm vice president. I thought, not the smartest thing to have said that, you know?
Well, you know, the question, I think his question was, who is the president? Is it Joe Manchin or is it Joe Biden? Wasn't that
what
his question was? And
well, it's same with cinema, you know, coasting cinema. I mean, these people are holding up action. I don't know what can be done, you know, but I don't want them becoming Republicans. That would be worse.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Because, for instance, Breyer needs to retire, but if suddenly he becomes Republican, there goes the Supreme Court.
Well, now...
If he died, he would not get a Democratic appointment.
Now, the Republicans, one of the Republicans has come out and said they are going to fight any appointment to the Supreme Court that would be made by Joe Biden.
But the next year, as long as there's 50-50, and assuming all the 50 Democrats agree to back, which I would assume so, they can get it through, but that's only if Breyer leaves or dies. Hopefully he doesn't die. But I don't know if he's going to leave by this summer. And after that, we don't know what's going to happen to the Senate. It may stay Democratic, it may not.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. But you know, actually, even now, Warren has COVID-19, at least the symptoms.
Who does?
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I just want to point out, and so does Cory Booker. Now, I'm just saying, these people have been vaccinated, but you never know. Anybody could die anytime. We all could. And if any of the Democratic senators die, whether they're older or not, all of a sudden, oh, my God, we have probably a Republican Senate. Now, of course, if Republicans lose somebody, then they have fewer votes. But I'm just saying it's a horrible situation with 50-50.
Yeah, it has become scary.
But meanwhile, Biden has had 40 judicial appointments approved, more than anybody since Reagan in the first year.
I was surprised to see that, yeah.
Yes, and also a lot of the ambassadors finally got through because Ted Cruz made a deal to have a vote on something that he wanted, and so and Biden made the deal with him. So a lot of ambassadors finally got appointed, you know, including Caroline Kennedy, ambassador to Australia.
That's cool, yeah.
She had been in Japan.
Yeah.
And now the former Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, will be, which I'm not a big fan of him, but he'll be ambassador to Japan. I just hope he controls his mouth, because he's very loose-mouthed, you know, and
he's also
making enemies in Japan, you know?
He takes great pride in being a hard nose.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I don't like him, because it's too much, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's his brother. Did we discuss this? Or somebody, his brother was saying that people over 60 or 65 should not take unusual means to stay alive because it costs too much.
No, we did not talk about that. Easy. That's interesting.
Zeke Emanuel, somebody told me about it. That's insanity, I think, you know?
Well,
Emanuel family right now.
Obviously, it was a person that was not over 60 years old. I mean, when you get to, you know, I can't probably think that when I was a young person, I thought, well, when I hit 65, I won't mind going.
Yeah.
Well, that's BS. I'm 75 now, and I want to live to be 175, but I know that won't happen.
And I must say that the average age has dropped by almost 2 years in the last year.
Yeah, because of COVID.
Yeah, so it's actually 77. It was close to 79. So I said, oh my God, that's my age. I've reached the limit.
Well, you know, there's another, if you look at the statistics on age, which I do, being of my age, if you hit a certain age, like if you're 20, your chances of making it to 77 are good, are better. But if you're 30, it goes up. You might get to 78. If you're 60, you might, your average age is in the 80s, and if you're in your 70s, it jumps up into the mid-80s that you're more likely to live to. So
yeah, well, I think for somebody 77, they probably said like 86.
Yeah, something like that.
Which sounds good until you reach 85.
Yeah, right. No, I want somebody to tell me I'm definitely going to live past 100, so.
Yeah. Well, I've always joked with students that I can't die. I think I may have told you this. And they say, why can't you die? I say, I want to know the results of every presidential election in the future.
Well, I can understand that.
So I say, just hope in heaven that they have CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post, etc.
Well, as an atheist, I'll tell you, you won't give a darn. You will be stardust floating in space.
You don't think that, like was it Hindus think you might come back as something else?
I have no thought.
Maybe a roach.
Yeah. Please don't let me come back as a roach.
Yeah.
Or a mouse or a rat or any of those bad things. You might be dinner for some Asian family if you come back as any of those things. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I was disappointed with Joe Manchin, but I really think he's moderated in the last day a little bit.
And I don't think he wants to switch parties, and by God, we can't afford to antagonize him. And unfortunately, some of the people on the left, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think their harshness is not a good thing. I mean, I understand they can be disappointed, but you still got to be careful what you say in public, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do.
And all of us, the way you deal with other people, you can't say everything that's in your head.
No, you shouldn't.
You have to be diplomatic and tactful. That's the only way you make it through life, you know, in a proper way, you know?
And usually if you say, outburst what you are thinking in your head, usually you haven't thought it through well enough.
And you'll regret it later.
Yeah, you'll regret it, yeah.
I've always told people, you have to, you know, you may notice something and want to say to use different words, but the best thing is think it, but don't say it, you know?
Yeah.
Same with work, you can't say that to fellow workers or to the employer, you'll be fired.
Yeah, well, I think you should think through everything you say.
Yeah.
That's, you know, kind of the critical race theory.
Oh my God.
You need to think through before you start shooting your mouth off about something like that. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so. But now you just used a horrible three letters, T-R-T. You're going to be banned forever by Ron DeSantis.
Good.
He comes to Florida.
Well,
oh
let
my
me
God.
See him try it.
he's just terrible. He really is, you know.
Well, anyway, we're down to our last couple of minutes, and I think Kamala is going to make it through this week. I don't think she's going to get burned at the stake or anything.
No, so. But you know, there's some people, one article that says she should resign because she can't help Joe Biden and she should pick somebody else. That's not going to happen. Only John C. Calhoun, for policy reasons, resigned with a few months left under Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And Spiro Agnew, of course, that was forced out by corruption.
Right,
he's not going to leave. That's wrong to say that.
I think she would be as good a president as we could possibly get other than Joe Biden. So.
Yes, I do think.
I think she'd be a phenomenal.
Because of who she is, female and mixed race, that is a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. I want to finish up, if I can, on Robert Kennedy Jr. besmirches the name of his father and the Kennedy family because of his anti-vaxxer reputation. He's probably the most famous anti-vaxxer, where everybody knows his name, and it's really terrible. I wrote about that yesterday, you know. I really think it's
a disgrace.
Excuse me, I shouldn't have said disgrace. I'm sorry, Scott.
I was talking over you. I don't think he would have heard it.
No, but I think he's really terrible in doing that. And I think his own family has split around him, you know, mostly against him, you know.
Well, maybe his grandfather did reappear down there in Dallas. And was it his grandfather?
Yeah, there are people drinking bleach down there, I heard that.
Oh, good. Get rid of those.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy. Anyway, I want to wish you Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you.
Look at the messages so you can answer my question.
I will.
And of course, next week we're going to have a show on the 29th, right?
Sure will, yeah. And,
okay,
we'll say
Happy New Year next week. But yeah. Merry Christmas to everybody listening.
Okay, have a happy holiday for you, even though Hanukkah is long gone.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season. For legendary actress and voice of Ursula in Disney's The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house the creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The